This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about giftedness. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Around the age of 2 or 3, some parents notice that their kids have an unusual affinity for music. They can hit notes when singing, maybe play the piano or other instruments. But is this just a knack, or are we looking at a true prodigy, a Mozart in the making? Reporter Marcus Biddle has more.
If I didn't tell you, you would probably never guess that this was an 8-year-old playing piano. Recently, I stopped by the 4th annual Busendorfer Youth Music Festival. It was at the German Society of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. The festival showcases some of the best musicians between the ages of 6 to 18, and I got to chat with some of them.
Hi, my name is Lucas Loppersert. I play the viola. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and I'm 17 years old.
Hi, my name is Noelle Struber-Eden. I'm 15 years old. I'm from Wynwood, Pennsylvania, and I play the violin.
My name is Gabriela Salvador Riera, and I'm 17 years old, and I play the violin. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
My name is Isabel Morales. I'm 16. I'm from Center City, Philadelphia, and I play the cello.
And like many of the kids at the festival, these 4 musicians have been playing an instrument for a long time.
I started in my kindergarten year when I was about 3 3/4, so almost 4, and so I've been playing for about 12 to 13 years.
I also started when I was 4 years old.
I started when I was 6 years old.
I've started playing viola when I was 8 years old.
Music has seemingly always been a part of their lives, but how they got into it varies. Gabriela chose the violin on a whim.
For me, I was brought up in a super musical environment. My parents aren't musicians, but we played a lot of music around the house. I would sing and dance a lot, and then out of the blue, my mom recalls that I kind of just started begging for violin lessons out of nowhere, so I don't really know where it came from, but yeah.
And Lucas was inspired by pop culture.
I first came across it when I watched a TV show which incorporated a lot of classical music within its episodes, and I just fell in love with them. And ever since, it's been one of the main reasons why I wanted to make music of my own, and here I am.
These kids were incredible, and it had me wondering about musical talent and giftedness. Was I watching true prodigies play? And what makes a prodigy anyway? At the International Laboratory for Brain, Music, and Sound Research in Montreal, or BROMS, scientists have been looking for clues to explain what makes prodigies different from other talented musicians. The lab is run by scientists from both the University of Montreal and McGill who are studying music and auditory cognition. One of the questions they are investigating is whether musical prodigies have noticeable brain differences. So how do they define prodigies for their research? Dawn Moret, a postdoctoral research fellow at BROMS, explains.
A musical prodigy is not just somebody who, you know, is a little bit faster than their peers at gaining musical skills. In fact, they usually, I think, master at more than twice the rate of their typical peers. In our study, we used that operational definition of they needed to have attained professional music ability before age 14.
Several years ago, scientists at BROMS recruited a few dozen young musicians in North America for a comprehensive neurological study to evaluate their brains. In this case, they chose participants who won either a national or international competition before the age of 12. BROMS identified about 20 young musicians in the study, and a control group of talented but not prodigy-level musicians. They conducted a series of MRI scans to see if they could find any brain differences between the two groups.
And we started by looking more at the macro structure of the brain. So looking at things like the cortex, how thick that is, the size and shape of different areas of the brain.
The researchers also conducted a series of evaluations to test memory, sound cognition, and overall biological differences. the results they've gotten so far might surprise you. And Dawn says they're also a bit unsatisfying.
Neurologically, so far, we haven't really seen any clues that would help us to understand, you know, whether they have different brains.
There appears to be no structural brain differences between prodigies and the musicians in the control group. No differences in IQ or working memory. Nothing.
We thought, well, surely, given that we see differences in many other studies between early and late trained musicians, being a prodigy where you practice so intensely, even if it's just a practice thing, because they're practicing so intensely during early periods when the brain is more malleable to change, there's more neuroplasticity that happens earlier. And that's the very time when prodigies are practicing so much.
But Dawn said researchers did notice some things that stood out about the prodigies. For example, they reported a high level of focus energy and immersion when it came to playing music. To put it in layman's terms, they could easily get into the zone.
What we did see that was different was that when they self-report their ability to get into a flow state, prodigies said that they were much more able to get into a flow state than other musicians with equivalent experience.
Then there's the parents. For the prodigies in the study, most had parents who were very invested in their kids' musical talents, involved in their practice and progress. And this external motivation propelled their success.
It's absolutely the parents, right? We actually require parents, especially of young kids, to sit in the lessons.
That's Tatiana Reutstein, a violinist.
All right, so go down slowly.
She's a music teacher, along with her husband, Serban Petrechko, a pianist.
Oops.
They say the old adage is true. Practice makes perfect. And ambitious musicians need to learn to accept that routine as a part of their lives.
Even the few that are the exceptions that do want to practice, they are not going to do the kind of meticulous practice that they need to be doing, right? So they're not going to watch what their hand shape looks like. They're not going to necessarily be super careful about the score and counting rhythm and making sure that things are, you know, connected and disconnected correctly and all of those minor little details. Not because they're, you know, trying necessarily to get away with something, but because they're kids, right? And they're just, you know, they don't tend to look at things as carefully.
And Serban says it helps build another important quality in a gifted child, grit.
As they learn how to play an instrument, they also learn how to deal with the frustrations. They get a lot of tools to deal with frustration and in general to learn music.
Talent, grit, dedication, support, it all makes a difference. But when it comes to true music prodigies, Tatiana and Serban say that they only come once in a blue moon.
It's quite rare. I don't know that we've ever actually come across a true musical prodigy, right? So we've had some very talented kids that can do things at a very young age, and they're playing very advanced music. But I wouldn't call them true prodigies, right? Those are really, really outliers.
For the young musicians I met at the festival, being a prodigy or not isn't something they're all that worried about. Here's Gabriella.
I would say in general that it's a pretty common misconception that it comes from just raw talent. It's a lot of hard work, and that's the main chunk of it, I would say.
And for most of them, their talent isn't the gift. It's the music itself and being able to play it. For The Pulse, I'm Marcus Biddle.